Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at Geico.com.
The podcast no one asked for, but you want it anyway. It's the Bits and Pieces Podcast.
Thank you, Timothy. Welcome to Bits and Pieces, the podcast that revisits our favorite Bob and Tom Show comedy bits. I am here with Jason Hofsetz, Jess Hooker, Jessica Alsman. I'm Willie Griswold. We're talking back to school. You guys, recently I went to my local Meijer and I raided the back to school section to get all my writing supplies because all on discount.
Yeah, nice.
Get all the legal pads, get all the different colored pens.
Are you brand loyal?
Not really. Honestly, not at all. Okay. This is kind of like douchey, maybe more pretentious is the word to use when I'm... My on-stage notebooks that I write in, I use the Moleskine brand
for the most part. Yeah.
At least I did when I was in Chicago because I was constantly writing. But now that I'm at home, I use like a, what's the bigger, this is almost bigger than a 3x5 card.
Legal pad?
No.
Four by six?
I could have just made the numbers
the note cards? Note cards, that's a way to go.
So those fit perfect in my back pocket and I use those on stage now. And my big thing that I do is I put it on the bench on stage before I get out there. So that way I don't walk on stage holding my beer, holding my phone, holding a note card. Takes me a while to get set up.
There you go.
Do the little 4x6 in there. Yeah, dude, I used to love going school supply shopping.
Yeah, that was better than like getting the clothes.
Yes.
Because this is an extension of your personality. What's on my folders? Yes. What color are my pencils? These are very important decisions.
Do you remember fourth grade when you got a protractor and you were just like, hell yeah, I got a protractor. And then you never got to use it the whole year.
Yeah.
Like you drew a circle one day and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It felt like this sort of, like a super tool that was, you were going to be able to do all kinds of stuff with the protractor. We're just doing circles. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it wasn't until geometry two in high school where I'm half asleep and maybe hungover and I don't know what the hell this thing does.
That's fun. Fun little insight into your life. Hungover in high school.
By the way, Will, I can't get over when you first started, you said I was at the local Meijer and I raided.
Yes.
I heard rated, R-A-T, and you're like going through the stuff like, that's an A, that's a B notebook.
I would get that.
These are C pencils. Don't even try to get these.
Yeah, we didn't have this back in my day. Yeah. Get a green 5-star binder.
I didn't know they made number 3 pencils. Oh, geez. One worse than number 2. Another number joke there.
Yes. There's an architect out there going, idiot, they do.
Yeah.
They've been doing this for a long time.
There's Dixon, they are Dixon, but they usually sell them like at the hardware store because they're carpenter pencils.
Sure.
But they're all black. And so I would always buy my kids their pencils from there because then they knew those were their pencils. Nobody else had black pencils.
There you go.
And so Max still talks about the kid that always tried to rip off his black pencils because he thought they were cool. And then I was like, man, let's just get this kid a package of black pencils. I was like, then you know it's the both of you. Aww. But yeah, like still... We just always have those black pencils, and that's one of the things for them.
See, that's the mom in you that's like, everyone should be supported. If that were my kid, I'd be like, well, we're getting you purple pencils. You're the kid. No one else gets to have the pencils you
I'm
have.
I'm calling the principal, yeah. Do you guys remember what the first day of school smelled like?
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, that is such a specific smell to me.
Not really. I had sinus issues. So.
Oh, okay. she did just take a puff off her inhaler in her defense.
It was a flashback of second grade. You can go stand in the corner by the wall and watch the clock and use your inhaler.
Oh, no. I'm sorry,
Wait,
Jess.
You got shunned to go do that?
It's like you had to go separate from the class, go watch the clock, because when you were young and you had to administer it yourself.
When that was legal, yeah.
Yeah, you take a hit, you have to watch the clock, hold your breath or something. Oh, like, I don't know. Okay. And then your second puff would be so long after. And
yeah.
I didn't realize this went back so far for you.
Oh, for sure. And then you'd pretend like you're smoking, you hit the inhaler and be like, oh, and kids God. Would laugh and they're like, stop it.
This explains a lot.
I still pretend like I'm smoking. If I have something remotely close to the shape of a cigarette, I pretend like I'm smoking.
See, you know what helped me with that is starting to smoke cigarettes again. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I jumped on that train for about 3 weeks this summer.
Oh, it's the worst. I'm off of again, but they're so tricky to quit.
Oh my gosh.
I had a thing that I wanted to say and I forget. Oh yeah, inhalers. When I was a kid, I remember always being jealous of the kids.
I know.
Like first day of school, you show up and you're like, holy smokes, mm-hmm. Dylan got braces. Yes. He yeah. is a man now, yes. you know?
Yeah.
And he's got like the little rubber bands and they're yes. pink. And you're like, oh, mother, yeah. I did not know that pink could be cool, you know? And like yeah. he's rocking it.
All this yeah. envy about stuff like that.
I was jealous. Yeah, I wanted glasses too. Oh. One time I went to my mom, I made her take me to the optometrist. Mm. I don't know if this is true or I crafted it in my head. In my head, she took me once 1 week and I got perfect vision. And then I made her take me back another week mm-hmm. and it was like worse. Like yeah. I pretend I was like blind basically, hoping I could trick the doc. And he was like, dude, you didn't lose all your eyesight in a week. That's yeah. impossible. I was, yeah, inhalers, braces, and glasses. Things as a kid you don't understand, but you want
you
for some
want,
reason.
You envy that. Yeah, but that's a good thing about blue light glasses now. Anybody can wear glasses, and they mm-hmm. still look cool, and yeah. it's an accessory. So
that's for looking at screens, too, right?
Yeah, it's specific to screens, really, or any kind of this new LED overhead light stuff.
Yeah, I don't have much trauma from being a kid, but getting glasses was traumatic
yeah.
because a lot of times it's the teacher that notices it before your parents.
Yeah, okay? That's true.
So-and-so's having trouble reading mm-hmm. at school. So it trickled down to my mom, and then I got glasses. The problem is I didn't want to wear the glasses in mm-hmm. second grade or third, somewhere in there. So I'd get to the bus, put them in my pocket.
Yeah.
But the teacher knew I had gotten glasses. Yeah. So after a few days, the teacher realized, Jason's not wearing his glasses. So middle of the class, uh-oh. And they realized what I was doing. They eventually figured it out. And she stopped the class and like, Jason, do you have something in your pocket you want to share with the rest of the class?
Called you out in front of everybody.
Called me out. I stood up and had to put on these. And these are, let's put the year on it. Because mm-hmm. in 1981, no one had cool glasses.
No, they're what the hipsters wear now. They kind of, the yeah. thing
oh,
the
they
top.
Were huge, yeah. terrible, terrible glass. And I had to mm-hmm. put these MFers on my head.
Nerd.
Exactly. I instantly, my cred went from whatever it was to instant nerd.
Was it the Drew Carey style, like the military
probably, yeah.
style? Of
probably,
glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah, because back then you had about two different styles to choose from.
Exactly. Yeah. Big or bigger?
Boy or girl?
Yeah, that's probably better, yes. That's probably better.
What are the big ones where the frames aren't as thick as the glasses are just massive? Like the actual lenses themselves yeah. are just so big?
I just got a pair. Bifocals? Yeah, I'm about to show you. Yeah.
They can be bifocals, but it's just that the lenses are
huge. They're like,
Phyllis Diller or something.
Yeah, but there's a bug. Or they say Coke bottle glasses. Yeah. Well, those are bifocals. But yeah, there's a...
It looks like a big figure eight in the middle yeah. of your face. Yes. Where yes. it's like an eight with like a little bridge between it. You know,
awesome.
Like the hospital bridge to the parking lot kind of thing. Yeah, there's bloody ears over there. That yeah. was a weird comparison.
Okay.
I guess any bridge I could have said. But yeah, we're talking back to school bits today. Man, I do this. There's something about back to school. Like a couple weeks ago, when I started seeing the back to school sales start, I was mm-hmm. like, damn it, this sucks. Like I'm still an adult, but there's still that weird part of you that never wants summer to end.
Mm-hmm.
But I always
mm-hmm.
do remember as a kid being pretty stoked for first day of school. Just you get to see your pals again.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's the only time the kids get up without any fight. Like they're up before the alarm. Like they're ready. Mm-hmm. They're feeling good. And it is a very peaceful day. For mothers, that first day of school when nobody wants to fight you in their good mood, they like what they're wearing, everything's washed, mm-hmm. everything's ready to go.
Did Max have his first day already?
Yeah, first day of his senior year. Yeah.
So I wonder aww. If he's anything like
me. Oh, yeah.
Me.
His youngest.
My youngest, Katie's a senior, so we both have yeah. seniors.
My
yeah.
goodness, you guys. Yeah. Class of 22. How exciting.
Yeah, I know, right?
That
yeah.
is crazy. Well, you know what? I can't wait till they turn 18 and I'll buy him cigarettes and porno, Max. How about
well,
that?
Well, Max did just turn 18 yesterday.
Oh,
all right, Max.
Yeah.
I guess I owe the kids a porno, Max.
Although I think on the big show you mentioned a lady of the night.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
You know what, man? I got to stop saying stuff on the show in the morning time. I say stuff people tweet me. A couple weeks ago, we did the show, and someone tweeted me, man, Willie, that line about Nick Saban was hilarious. And now I'm going...
no memory.
I'm going, oh, God, I hope that I didn't, you know, speak poorly about the president of Alabama. You know, I would hate for that to come back and bite me in the ass.
You never know.
But hey, it's back to school time, and we are going to kick this off with an even better show than the Bob and Tom Show.
Reality TV has reached a new level with shows like The Osbournes and The Anna Nicole Show, programs that take you inside the homes and the minds of fascinating people. But what about the kids? Isn't it time for a reality show for kids, about kids, and with kids? Well, Bob and Tom Television, the network that was created to help hide the huge losses of its parent company, Frigga Mall Industries, proudly presents The Sam and Willie Show, the first reality show just for kids. See Sam and Willie Griswold, Tom's kids, like you've never seen them before. Totally live, candid, and unscripted. Here's an excerpt from this week's show.
Boy, Willie, I can't wait to go back to school.
Me too, Sam.
I mean, it seems like the summer vacation will never end.
Yeah, summer vacation is so bogus.
I miss the books and the discipline.
And the homework.
Yeah, the homework.
And the huge bathroom where we get so many possible places to pee.
Yeah, not like at home. Summer vacation is so frustrating because it robs us of valuable time that we could be learning from qualified instructors.
Yeah.
And Dad just doesn't get it. He's always telling us how that in his day, school didn't start until after Labor Day.
Sam, I don't think I could wait that long.
Me neither. And he thinks it should still start after Labor Day.
Maybe that's why Dad's so stupid. He went back to school way later than he should have.
Yeah, I think that he'd definitely be smart if he went back in August. And if he tells us one more time how he used to play hooky and sometimes go to an Indians game, I mean, that's not right.
Yeah, he's supposed to call them Native Americans.
That's not what I mean, Willie. I meant the hooky part.
What does hooky mean?
I'm not sure, but you know what a hooker is?
Yeah, kinda.
Well, I guess he was the hooky.
Ew, gross!
Yes, it's reality TV like you've never seen before. And in an upcoming episode of The Sam and Willie Show...
Willie, look what I got!
Cool, the complete poetry of Lord Byron. Sam, this book is dope. Where'd you get it?
I traded that video game Eternal Darkness to Larry Rogers.
Sam, you ripped him off.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad about it. I can't believe he traded a book of classic poetry for a stupid video game.
Yeah, if he knew how much you hated that game.
Well, it totally goes against my core belief in nonviolence.
Yes, finally there's a reality TV show for kids. The Sam and Willie Show, only on the Bob and Tom Television Network. A complicated accounting scam since 1993.
Is my voice still that high?
It's adorable. Yeah. I absolutely love it. Your voice now really and then. Yes.
Dude, I remember very well recording the line, yeah, kinda, about do I know what a hooker is?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I did not know what a hooker was.
Did Uncle Dean teach you?
No, he didn't. Oh. It was one of those things where I still, like, in the bit, I answer, yeah, kinda. It was one of those things where I was a kid and I didn't want to admit to it, you know? And right. So I was like, oh, yeah, no, sure, I know what that is.
You clearly didn't ride the school bus.
Yeah.
Which is where you learn a lot of that stuff early on, if you don't learn it from this show.
Dude, I can remember my buddy, Max Berman, we would just be sneaking around the pool in the summertime, and he would be teaching me all the new bad words that he learned, because he was like a year older than me, so he could get them to me. Real quick, this is so off topic, but when I used to work at a summer camp, whenever the kids from Spain would come to camp or whatever, mm-hmm. or a kid from a different country, and within 2 minutes, that just becomes little kids teaching each other the worst words they can say.
Exactly. Like
yeah. All it is you're just learning cuss words. But yeah, back to that bit. Dude, I used to talk so fast. And I remember Dean say, yeah, kinda. They're three different words. Yeah. They're four syllables. We have to hear every one and just doing take after take after take with that.
Yeah, your great line of maybe that's why Dad is so stupid. I was like, Dean was just loving feeding you that line.
And by the way, I'm very happy that 20 whatever years later, I can still get a laugh calling my dad stupid. You know? I will take that. And then there's a certain part of that is we're joking. We're talking about how Sam traded a video game for a book of poetry. We're all so excited about that. Yes. I've said this on the Big Show before. when I was a kid, Sam, he got real mad at me because I stole one of his Pokemon cards that was like a Ninetales, and it was holographic. It was like a big deal. And I looked it up a couple weeks. Like, these things are selling for thousands of dollars. And I took it in kindergarten, and I traded it to my pal Jared Scott for his Caterpie, which was worth nothing, but I thought it was like a cool, fun little rainbow worm, and I was really into it. And I go, no, Sam, look, I got the Caterpie. You idiot! Yeah, man, that was such a fun bit. And well, Sam still kind of sounds the same. He still has that kind of very mature cadence. Maybe it's because he's my older brother. I always feel like he talks
I'm with you. He does sound like, you can tell he's a little kid, but he sounds like a very well-versed kid.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much he was acting there, because Sam did love school. Sam got all A's forever. He was like a little genius, and I was such a dummy in school. I got C's and D's, baby. Yeah.
You were busy talking, making people laugh. Right?
Yeah, I was goofing. I was talking, but nobody can understand me because I'm fast and high in my voice. Hey, what are you guys going to go to the store later? Hang out.
So do you remember when you went back, like in elementary school, whether it's fifth or sixth grade, and you were much taller than all the other boys because the girls go through their growth spurt faster, or at least, or maybe you saw other women, or
I had friends, girlfriends that, yes.
And they also came back with boobs.
With boobs.
And you're like, I want those. It's not fair.
Yeah, it was a big,
I
showed up. My own minor boobs. That's
it
okay.
was, yeah, with the year I showed up with boobs was sophomore year. Or if you want to fast forward 10 years, when I bought them. Sure. That's when I finally showed up with boobs.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. I got boobs probably seventh grade. I was a thick little kid. Yeah. I had some nice little bosoms.
But you know what? I had my best friend was that girl. We came back to school in fifth grade. She was 3 or 4 inches taller than everybody, and she wasn't just wearing a training bra. Like, she needed a real grown-up bra, and we were
with
all
the
like,
wire and everything.
Yes, everything. Like, it wasn't a sports bra. It was the whole, and we were just like, oh my God, Jessica. That was her name too. But yeah, it was just, I remember that. But she stayed the same height and her boobs are still the same size. So shout out, Jess. I love you.
Now, did you guys enjoy, this is the geek in me, I enjoyed planning out what classes I was going to take in high school. Because you finally had some control on what you got to take.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. Mine was always more concerned about what that first period class was.
Oh.
Had a little bit of control over that. I probably skipped some classes that really would have benefited me based on what time of day they were.
Oh, sure, yeah. Mm. Freshman year, I had Spanish first period. Oof. Yeah. Senor Malcolm could not get through to me, man. I was barely even awake in that class. Yeah.
Senor Solera hated me. Mm-hmm. Took all my magazines. He'd be like, Silencio, Isabella. Mm. And he just always like, a grunt at me. And I'm like, Spanish or is that English?
Did you guys get to choose a Spanish name?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so did we. Okay, I didn't know if everybody got that.
I was French, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Excuse me, for the rest of this podcast, everyone has to refer to me as Guillermo.
Guillermo! Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
Pretty fun.
I had a French teacher. Her last name was Belle.
Yeah.
And so you're supposed to call them Madame.
Yes.
And she, first day, it's okay, you can call me Madame Belle. And so we thought, oh, this is great. Yeah. And I did. I took 3 years of French.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Nice.
Now, I remember senior year, because I would just take all the classes I could. And the last semester, I had plenty of credits so I could take, you know, the old study hall thing.
Yeah.
And I had so many study halls, I was bored out of my mind. Mm-hmm. And I eventually picked up like PE2 so I could at least go do something.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was one of those, like, I could have just be done in January.
That's how
whatever,
I was.
Right?
Yeah. So I ended up actually the last semester, I did school to work. Like, and I, just because I knew where I was going to college, it was done.
My daughter's doing that.
And so I did that, and it was the video store in New Pal, and it was like, I would just.
Like a video rental store?
Yeah, that's where I worked, and there was this dirty old pervert that would come in and go through the saloon doors every day at 1 o'clock. Like, he took his wife to physical therapy and then came and got porn like a trash bag.
Oh my.
I still hate that guy.
But does it come to you? And
he come to me and
he has to
like,
check out?
Yeah, and he tried to convince me that it was law for me that I couldn't tell anybody that he came in and got porn, and I was like, homie, I'm telling everybody.
Yeah, this ain't HIPAA. Are you kidding? I know my rights.
It's 1999. I'm telling everybody.
Yeah, this isn't HIPAA. This is Hips Open 2. Return to the Other Side. That was a porno name.
So was that was DVD. DVDs were starting to get pretty
DVDs
big.
DVDs were starting to come out. But the benefit of that, my dorm room was covered in the coolest posters.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Also, DVD and porn categories, the V stands for something different.
Okay. What would that be? I'm sorry, what was it?
Walk us through it.
It was vagina. It was the joke I was
Willie
making.
Willie said vagina. I was like, Guillermo said vagina.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Isabella. And then just one thing before we go to the next bit, one thing I want to point out is we were talking to Al Jackson the other day, and he was talking about how dope has sort of broken through, and dope used to be a thing that Timmy is smoking the dope, like that sort of reason, and now it's a thing like suburban moms will say, oh my gosh, your Converses are dope. And in that, and we're talking about the Lord Byron book, and my character goes, this book is dope. And so let's give it up for Tim Kavanaugh
for
having his ear to the ground.
Yeah.
15 years ago.
Tim
or so,
Kavanaugh, cultural expert Tim Kavanaugh, knew that dope was going to be coming in to stay. So this next one, I'm sure it'll be, you know, in this show, we have a lot of very intelligent people. People think, you know, folks like Bill Schecht on this show, Dr. Will, all these people that are very smart. And so for this one, it's going to be incredibly intelligent. It's Donnie Baker reminiscing about his back to school days.
Hey, Bob and Tom, it's Donnie Baker, man. You know, every year about this time, I start to get depressed and a little nervous. And I don't know why, but I think it's because summer's coming to a close and, like, schools are starting up again. And even though I graduated years ago, man, I think it's just in my blood. I swear to God it is. My mom, Phyllis, was always stressed out around September because my real mom would never get off her butt and get my school supplies on time. My mom, Phyllis, promised she'd never let me get on the bus with, like, clothes that were outdated. Or worse yet, I didn't want to be one of those kids wearing knockoffs. I remember Ricky Skidmore wearing a pair of high tops that said Nuke. Didn't even have a swoosh, just a silk screen check on. Everybody made fun of him. But he said they couldn't afford much more because his mom was saving up to get a boob job and stuff. That's when me and him became friends because I was hoping he'd invite me over to spend the night a bunch. Mm-hmm. And by my freshman year, hell, I was over there every weekend. I swear to God I was. But don't buy your kids shoes at, like, the grocery store, man. I mean, it's okay for sunglasses and jewelry, but go to the mall for shoes. And if you're a parent, man, you need to plan ahead. I mean, if you've waited this long to go buy school clothes, there's no way you're going to be able to get them airbrushed by the time school starts. Tell my mom Phyllis paid to get my name airbrushed to most of my tank tops. And they don't work on parachute pants, so save the money there. But that's when people started realizing I was born to be a badass. Uh-huh. I didn't have some gay alligator on a collared shirt or a stupid polo horse. I had a two-headed dragon spitting fire and a serpent with fangs that said Donnie Baker above both of them. I mean, what teacher's going to have the balls to give your kid detention wearing them clothes? I swear to God they never did. And if you really want respect, just have your kids wear the clothes they pass out when they go to juvie. I mean, nobody ever guarded me in intramural basketball, man, because I had the best crossover and an orange jumpsuit. Man, I think school supplies are even a bigger waste of time and money. I swear to God I do. My mom Phyllis used to get our dental records mailed to the house every fall right before school started, and they can't deny your dental records if you ask for them, man. It's state law. And when they send them, just keep all the vanilla folders they put to x-rays in. Oh. The folders already have your name on them, so you don't even have to buy magic markers. Hell, that'll save you a trip to the store and about $4. I remember my senior year, my homeroom teacher, Mr. Bankston, told us we had to have a bottle of whiteout or correction tape for the word processors. Whatever, man. I mean, what kind of teacher is that? Telling his pupils we need correction tape when we ain't even made no mistakes yet. That's like replacing your roof before a hailstorm. And that's what I told him. So I didn't buy any correction tape. I just used some of my mom's old pasties from when she used to dance at Xanadu's. And it's still a sore topic with me, man, because they wouldn't let her speak on career day because Xanadu's was spelled with three X's. And that's when I told Mr. Repass, our principal, he should know how to spell it because I seen his LeBaron parked behind a privacy fence by the dumpster over the summer and I'd pick mom up from work. You should have seen the school board members when I testified with that pop quiz right in their face. They finally agreed to let Mom Phyllis pass out some pamphlets, but only at the away football games. I hate politics, man. Just like when the cafeteria cop tried to say my sack lunch didn't have all four food groups. And I told him, even a science teacher said Funyuns were a vegetable. Look it up. I gotta go.
You guys eating your vegetables, getting a lot of Funyuns in lately? Or?
Oh, I love Funyuns. Those are my favorite. I was a kid, I don't mean for this to sound like a sad story, but it might sound a little sad. We would go to the gas station for dinner. And I would get Funyuns, and I would get
Roller Dog,
Yoo-hoo.
Oh,
Funyuns
nice.
And Yoo-hoo, and a whatchamacallit. That was my dinner. That was my choice.
I didn't mean to laugh when you just go, I don't want this to be a sad story.
It's, but you know what? And I know it. I don't mean it for it to sound sad, because if you are a kid and you're going to the gas station for dinner, like, it's like a treat.
Oh, yeah.
We just didn't know that normal people don't do it every night. We didn't know.
There's a certain point of parental negligence that kind of rules when you're a kid.
It's some of your best memories. That's what I just feel bad because my son is becoming an adult and there's parts of these moments that he's just like, will be so great. And then when he's in therapy, he's going to go, oh man, you just ruined that for me.
You mean pizza night was just because you didn't want to cook? Stuff like that.
She was hungover?
No, I think Donnie hit on some negligence when he said the kid couldn't get new shoes because mom was going to get a boob job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. You know, priorities.
I always got one pair of shoes a year right before school started.
Yeah.
Because I would wear the hell out of them mm-hmm. as a kid because I was an outdoor kid. And boy, it was cool to get that pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but for the first like month or two of school, did last year's school shoes become your outside play shoes?
I don't know because I would wear, because as you're growing as a boy, man, I wore the toes out. Yeah. Like literally wore the toe out.
Yeah.
Where you're coming out of the shoe.
Well, then they made you get separate gym shoes at a certain point. So you have to have your PE shoes for when you're inside. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we would get them twice a year. It was very exciting. Back to school shoes. And then at Christmas, we go shopping for the second pair for the next round. And typically it's because we were growing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they were just so beat up.
You know what I got one time is my dad, he likes being prepared, right? He's big about being prepared. You got to have the stuff before you do the job. You got to be ready. And and so I joined the cross country team. And then I don't know, like one time in passing, I like heard that the cross country stars, they wear these cleats called spikes with metal cleat and you have to twist them in there. And I was 4 years old, just chubby as hell, you know, 4 years old, about to crack 100 pounds. And my dad, I got the spikes. I got like the nicest running shoes that there were because he thought that that's what you needed. And everyone at cross country looked at me like I was this big weirdo because everyone else was just running in their regular tennis shoes. And I was just this little chubby, overprepared kid screwing in my tiny little spike. Mm-hmm. I had a tiny little bag on the bus getting ready for the run. So funny.
Wasn't that just for the actual track?
Oh, no.
The spikes were for track, right?
Not cross country.
The spikes, they were meant for being on grass.
Really? Oh,
I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, maybe these were meant for the track, but again, overprepared.
Did you say you were 4 years old?
I think you meant fourth grade.
I meant to say fourth grade. Excuse me.
I was like, dang.
I saw you at three, and I don't remember.
I was like 100 pounds.
I wasn't chubby till I was 8. My parents made a comment to me, Ben, and I'll remember it for the rest of my life. Okay, moving on. No, we're okay. We're okay. Just a very serious, true thing.
So as Donnie was talking there, usually when you go into junior high, you might pick up an instrument. What instrument do you think Donnie would have played?
Trumpet, because it's loud.
Really? Okay.
That's the first thing I thought of, just him blowing as loud as he can.
Dude, but drums also. Just, you know when you're a kid and you want to play drums, but then they, because you're like, drums are tough and you whack stuff. Mm-hmm. And then on day one, they give you the mallets for the bells for the xylophone, which is the least tough thing you can do.
That's true.
Instead of like hitting cymbals and they go, wah! It's like you hit a thing that's like, ding!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like drums might have been it too. But of course, Donnie became a lead singer. Mm-hmm. So, but you can't be a lead singer in junior high. But I think drums, I think the coolest kid I thought in band was the drummer for sure. And he had a pretty good sized kit.
It's definitely the coolest thing. I would say in high school, I played the electric bass guitar in the band. Mm-hmm. And that is by far the coolest thing that you can play in the band.
Nice.
You got to plug it in.
So did you played that in like band or did you guys have a jazz band?
No. So I played the double bass in middle school.
Okay.
And then I wanted to switch over.
Gotcha.
Because like I didn't have a double bass at home. You know, it's like, they're expensive and they're massive. It's like not worth it. But we had a bass around. And so the band director let my older brother play bass, and then I got to play it in just like the concert band.
Cool.
But I also played it in the jazz band.
Yeah.
And the coolest thing, I played it in the pep band.
Yes.
And so at
football games, my
senior year, I got injured. Mm-hmm. And so I'd be wearing the football jersey and wearing the back brace that I had because I broke my back.
Oh,
and I'd be sitting down in my little chair playing the bass.
Oh, my gosh.
So fun, dude.
You know what, though? Like, when I was, do you remember being little and going to the high school games? Like, probably like fifth grade, you start go, like your parents, like you go, but you don't have to be with your parents.
Yes.
And so we go. Right. And I'm telling you, because of our pep band, I believe that that is why my favorite song of all time is Call Me Al, because they would bump, 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 and they would start, and I was like, and still to this day, like, I get goosebumps. I wanted that to be my song at my wedding, and everybody was like, no, 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 no,
is that the
no.
one I think Tom hates the Tom video? And Chrissy hate the video.
Yeah, yeah, Chrissy hates the song, Tom hates the video, but I love Chevy Chase too, so.
Yeah.
What's the Chevy Chase affiliation?
So Chevy Chase is in the video. Him.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Him and Paul Simon are dressed alike. They're wearing like these like Miami Vice type white suits, and they're just it's really, really dumb.
And that's like
but
70,
it's wonderful.
And that's like 77, so that's like peak Chevy Chase era.
No,
right?
This is 80s. Call Me Al is mid 80s. Yeah.
Okay, very
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. Paul Simon, I'm gonna say it. I think he's a weirdo.
No. Oh, absolutely. 100%. All of my favorite people are weirdos.
What did he do to you?
I just think that he sings very quietly and he makes songs for. He's one of the best songwriters of all time.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny that. But I just don't trust a little guy, maybe. You know, get an electric guitar, plug in, rock out a little bit.
He has a song that, if you have daughters, will make you sob.
Why would I listen to that?
Yes. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And real quick,
yeah.
By the way, earlier when I said that I just say stuff sometime and then I don't remember it and then I regret it later, don't tweet me. I don't actually hate Paul Simon. Right? I don't care.
You know what? I don't think anybody would be mad at you about that. I think you're okay.
Alzman, did you play anything in the band?
Elementary school, everyone gets, well, first off, in elementary school, fifth, sixth grade, I played the clarinet, and I played it in 7th and 8th grade as well. But didn't we all get recorders in elementary school?
I think in 4th grade. 4th grade.
Yeah. Excuse me. I believe you're referring to the English fife.
Oh.
That's are you shitting
is Tom
me?
Here, or is this Will?
Sorry. I couldn't help it.
I was just being
it.
A jerk.
We have to mark that.
But it is called the English fife. Yeah, I'm not mad about that.
Well. And that's what they called it at your private school?
Oh, no. We called it recorders. We just like, oh. I did like a presentation. Well, you know how you don't remember anything in your whole life? You don't remember your sister's phone number?
Yes.
English fife, picked it up in 5th grade. I'll never forget it.
Yeah. There's no way that's the same thing, right?
No, it is, yeah.
Well, I've been practicing on my tin whistle.
Get in there. What you got?
Year did you
that's
graduate?
Kind of a tinier
version. I graduated in 2000.
Okay, so a hit song you might have heard at your high school football games. Here we go.
Okay. Yeah. I know what it is.
The Old Man River?
No, it's Titanic.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry, Titanic. I ran out of breath there.
All right, well, hey, I didn't know what it was.
What?
Yeah. I did.
Do I need to play it again? Whatever.
That just makes me think of 4th grade, and it also makes me think of the video game Zelda.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel that.
I had a buddy in college that he was in music and all, and he was really good at everything, and he found a recorder and started playing Metallica riffs on his recorder.
Amazing.
That's
fun.
So funny.
That's a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Like, do another one.
Kind of sounds like Mandalorian a little bit.
Oh, yeah, it does. Wait. A little slower. Yeah, that's not bad.
Oh, my gosh.
I like it.
They're filming the 3rd season right now. They should just bring you in there to do the audio.
Hey, come on, Favreau. What are you doing?
Do you want to hear a really just funny, just quick story? It has nothing to do with the podcast. This Friday, my show in Chicago, we have Dave Pasquazi is doing it, who's this incredible improviser, a part of TJ and Dave. He plays the husband or the ex-husband in the show Veep.
Awesome.
Dave Pasquazi. He's an incredible improviser. He's doing stand-up at our show. And the reason that we like found out about him, my buddy Colin, who co-produces with me, he's a massive Star Wars guy, and he was working on this new Star Wars joke. And then he got off stage, and then Dave Pasquazi came up to me. He was like, "Hey, man, I just want to let you know I'm in the new Star Wars TV show. I'm in the new like Boba Fett show, whatever it is." Mm-hmm. He was like, "Oh, hell yeah, dude! How'd you land that gig?" And he's like, "Oh, I used to do improv with the guy that does them." And then my friend Gall was like, "You did improv with John Favreau?" He's like, "How do you know that?" And he's like, "Of course I know who John Favreau is."
That's funny. Gosh.
That's awesome.
Yeah, dude. This will be a great show. We got him, John Rudnitsky from SNL. This is going to come out after. It doesn't even matter. I'm just talking about it.
Okay.
But yeah, that'll be great. And then one quick note I want to do. There's a joke about airbrushing shirts in that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I want to pay homage to my buddy Matt Holt. One of my favorite jokes in the whole world. He goes, "I was just in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I needed to pick up some airbrush t-shirts. That's where they keep them." And it makes me laugh. I've never even been to Myrtle Beach, but the joke's
so he's right. Yeah.
He's the man. All right. Well, here's our next bit. And I don't know if it's the back to school bit or if it's our friend Tim Kavanaugh, but here is Tim Kavanaugh speaking for the Disenfranchised.
I hate going back to school. I hate going back to school. I don't like books. The lunches stink, but nobody cares what I think. I hate going back to school. Last year, our principal, Mrs. Rome, caught me eating boogers, sent me home, even though not all of them were my own. Oh. She wouldn't take that into consideration. I hate going back to school.
Back to school.
I hate going back to school. Each year I give myself this speech. This is the last year that I'll teach. I hate going back to school.
That's perfect.
He's so great.
That is perfect. And I love hearing a young Josh Arnold sort of just singing background.
How wild is that, that he has been on here long enough that he now has a young voice? Mm-hmm. I mean, like when you listen to the original cast, like they probably each have five or six different voices, sure. Right? But now Josh has been here long enough that he has his middle-aged voice.
Five
he had his little baby
years.
Voice and his middle-aged
and you
voice.
Could like he was kind of hesitant to join on the back-to-school thing, yeah. And then after he started, he stopped it, kind of. It'd be, I feel like now if we're doing that, if Tim Kavanaugh's in here singing that song, Josh is doing harmonies, mm-hmm. And he's doing hand dances, like his show choir days.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, and I'm thinking, like, we have basically your entire life. You're going to have all your voices.
That's so weird to think about.
Yeah.
You know what? I was listening to old open mic sets, and my voice was different. I just sucked at stand-up comedy. They are brutal to listen to. That actually might be kind of funny one time. Mm. In bits
you
and pieces.
Play something.
At the, just play like a snippet of me.
For sure.
I mean, it's me doing jokes that are so bad. Like, the jokes themselves are bad. I'm performing them not well, and then they don't work, and I'm like, whatever, you guys just don't get it. Like, I'm so cocky because I was new and delusional that I think it's the crowd's issue.
That's funny.
Can you give us an example of what of a bad joke? You got a bad one that you
I can't think of one right. So a lot of them were just really, really sad. Like when I started, it's, I've talked about this before, but I got into stand-up after my best friend, my roommate in college passed away, and that sort of springboarded me into wanting to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing stand-up comedy, and I wasn't in therapy at the time, so I was doing stand-up comedy, and instead of doing jokes, I was telling jokes, but like they're about like my friend dying,
oh my.
And they were so dark, and I was just going into these rooms and making people so uncomfortable, man. It was unfair. But then the weird thing is after I got too dark there, I just pivoted and all my jokes were about puns, which people hated just as much. Then I became the, I had to quit drinking. I quit drinking, but I'm still eating ice cream. Some people go stone cold sober. I got cold stone sober. Like that.
That's not bad.
Thank
that's
you.
Not bad.
Yes, that's easy.
I like it.
I used to get the shakes. Now I'm drinking shakes, brother. I mean, that kind of stuff. That's what we're talking about.
I appreciate it.
Do you end all your punchlines with brother?
I did it for a long time.
It was a tribute to Hulk Hogan.
It was my Hulk Hogan era. That's exactly what it was, brother. Yeah, I don't know what I mean, because that's the other thing is when you start doing stand up, it's you're just doing impressions of people. I was ripping off Pete Holmes for years. I've ripped off my dad, Chick, Josh, and Pat before on stage because you're trying to see which box you fit into.
Right. Have you read the book Steal Like an Artist?
I have not read the book Steal Like an Artist.
I'll bring it in and let you read it. But it basically is just like, look, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to absorb your surroundings and the people you care and the people you want to imitate. And eventually, when you practice that enough, you will be the version of you that you want to be.
Well, here's another thing. When I came on here last summer on the big show on Bob and Tom, I was doing a Chick McGee impression. I was just trying to do the same sense of humor because I go, that works for Chick. That's going to be me. And then I realized that's not me. And then I tried to do the Josh thing and I was like, I'm not as smart as Josh is. I can't pull those jokes off.
It is wild to try to find your footing in here. I mean, I know we all grew up listening to the show, but we are literally all a mixture of what we grew up
100%,
listening to. And
yes.
So I noticed that the first time I came in here, like my default was to say all of the things I say off the air that are actually from the show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying things that Chick says all the time and she's looking over at me like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, sorry, that's your line here. I forgot, you know, but in my group of friends, I'm hilarious and I steal his stuff all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny. You'll hear Josh actually do some of Chick's stuff on the air.
I think they all do.
But there's times I'll notice and I'm like, hey, that's Chick's thing.
Yeah.
You know? only seven more minutes.
Right, right, right.
You know, kind of thing.
It's hard not to because we do it off the air. But I think Josh is such the perfect representation. He is 50%. I mean, I shouldn't even say 50%. He is actually a third of Bob, Tom, and Chick. Mm-hmm. Like, he is the guy who grew up and absorbed all of them.
Well, and here's another thing on that ripping off and an impression of an impression. I apologized to Josh one time because somebody accused me of something, and I went, "That's right." And I go, "Because that's a Josh thing."
That is.
And then Josh goes, "Dude, I took that off Chick years ago. Chick, Chick has been doing That's Right for a long time."
Okay, that's true.
Not show related. I was just thinking about the Chris Farley scene in Tommy Boy, the fat guy in a little coat. You listen to that. He's doing a Bill Murray impression.
Oh, really?
That's Bill Murray, the SNL, the scene where he's the lounge singer at the ski resort.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he's doing. It's maybe, I don't know if he was thinking that, but that's what I saw when I saw, or that's what I heard when I saw that.
Now that you say that, but I never, for some reason, I wouldn't have got that.
And everyone's like, Bugs Bunny, Groucho Marx. Yeah, Bugs Bunny is Groucho Marx. Like, it's everything is an impression of an impression, or whatever, of whatever.
Yeah, that's 100% true.
Well, I can't wait. I have my 30th, yes, I'm dating myself, reunion this weekend. So I will be bestowing upon all kinds of Bob and Tom humor on these people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get all the glory. So, yes.
You have your 30th BNT reunion?
No, my 30th high school reunion.
Oh, I thought, I don't know, I misheard that. I thought you meant like graduating class. I mean,
No.
No, I was an intern 26 years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah.
This is 21. Okay, so I'll be 20 years from my internship next year. Yeah.
Gosh,
we've been here a while.
Sorry, I'm just in my head that I don't know what the word reunion means. What are you doing, you idiot?
Yeah.
Are you going?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have some guys coming in. I have a friend coming in from Colorado, friend coming in from Arizona. So it becomes more about your close buddies, and we're going to see some friends locally and do a couple things. We will go to the reunion. But it's kind of one of those things, you're local buddies aren't going to the reunion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is
that kinda... So we call them townies.
Okay.
And these are the people that really kind of never left. Like I still live in the same town I grew up in. And there was a short period of time that I actually lived in town.
Sure.
Before my dad built a house in a neighborhood. But so I, in my heart, I'm a townie. So when I go back into town and I see fellow townies, like, there's just like, they're my people, but they're also the ones hosting their own reunion in the garage at their house.
Yeah. Right.
So you guys swing by the townie reunion and then go to the official reunion. Okay. Like that's the way it goes.
My 10 year would have been in May, 'cause I graduated in May of 2011.
Yeah.
But I think that there was like a COVID thing, and now I think it's like some sort of thing in the fall or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I tweeted a joke about it being like, I just got the invitation to my high school reunion. I never did. But my joke was just like, but I'm not going to feel comfortable going until I'm like vaccinated, successful, and have a six pack. Like, that was the joke about it or whatever.
Good.
Yeah. It's a smiler, you know, it's silly little line. But then someone like commented that they were just like, oh, you actually got invited? Guess I didn't get invited to the reunion.
No.
They don't care about me. I was like, dude, it's nothing. I'm very
doing
sorry.
Doing jokes here.
Yeah, I'm very sorry, Connor. That is his name.
I missed mine. My 20-year reunion was last year, and we had to cancel it because of COVID.
I've heard a lot about last year's or having them this year.
Yeah, I don't think any of us really want to do it that bad, so we'll just wait till 25, I guess.
Yeah. It'd be cool if they combine it with the class younger, like if the class of 11 and the class of 12 got together, just make it a bigger party.
You think so?
Yeah, because I was around those kids in high school. I know them all.
I get that, but the class under us sucked. They were awful. There were so many, they just sucked. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes. So there is currently like the biggest douchebag in each graduating class, like that we were all friends with.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this is so mean.
No,
this
it's okay.
So mean. I mean, and I'm not talking like dork. I'm not talking like douchebag. Like, they have it coming. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But wait, so there's kind of like a bracket type situation thing. This is the most bully thing I've ever said. I feel horrible. I'm very sorry.
We didn't have any douchebags in my high school graduating class. Wait a second. Maybe I was there. No. We have one more bit. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, yeah, we do have one more bit. I was going to ask, did anybody go to the state fair this summer?
I'm going next week.
You're going next week.
See the Beach Boys and John Stamos.
I know. John Stamos is going to be at our state fair with the Beach Boys.
He sings, right?
Yeah.
He plays drums. He can play guitar. So
with the Beach Boys?
I
had no clue.
You didn't know he did that?
I didn't know.
Do you guys want to know?
That one album that came out, he's in the video. Mm-hmm. He's playing the bongos with the Beach Boys.
I'm a little out of the Beach Boys.
We'll get to Iowa State Fair also.
We can make iron-on t-shirts that say Half Mercy. It could be pretty fun.
Oh, that's
yes, please.
Yeah, it could be a good time. Who knows?
How old is John Stamos?
I don't know, but his...
He still looks great, though, right?
Yeah, his wife is... I just saw a picture of her, and I thought it was his daughter. My bad. But yeah, he's a man of a certain age. He's 55, you think? 50, 55?
I say he's got to be mid-50s, right?
Yeah, looks awesome.
Takes care of himself.
Yeah. And he's a nice guy. He seems like a really good guy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know they were going to be at State Fair.
Yeah.
Well, I really wanted you when you said the nice guy thing.
Yeah.
You're just like, he's nice. Yeah, has good skin. Looks great. I thought you were just going, and he is packing. I saw some pictures.
I don't know.
John Hamm, move over. He's got the energy.
He does. Yeah.
He's got the BDE. Yeah.
Yeah. There is definitely a nice guy energy with the BD. You're right? Is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know. I'm sure this is a whole other podcast where we could talk about the what comes with that.
Oh, wait, really quick. Yeah. You want to talk about all my early stand up is about my small penis. I mean, it is just me in there. Hey, we're in a basement in Chicago. We're all drunk and no one wants to laugh at. What's wrong with you guys? You know? So unwilling to look into a mirror.
I have a question about that, but I'll ask off the air.
It's mostly a joke. I'm Irish. You know, what are you going to do? It's mostly a joke.
Jesse and the Rippers t-shirts?
Yeah, you're partially Irish.
Oh, Jesse and the Rippers t-shirts, yeah.
It took me 3 BDs to figure out what you were talking about.
Oh,
there.
That's all right,
I was listening to the whole story. And
wait, what is a BD?
It's a big old...
I was going to make Jason awkward. Oh. Like,
that's one of my favorite phrases. Don't you suck a bag of...
Well, and those, it was a great dessert over at the bar nearby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sack of balls and a bag of D's.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch Suicide Squad there, Osman?
Not yet. It's a whole debate at our house whether we're going to the theater or just watch it in the basement. So we're like, all right, we'll go to the theater. Oh, we didn't go. So it's pissing me off.
Have you been to the theater lately?
I haven't gone yet.
You haven't?
I saw Black Widow there. Yeah.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think I'm going to go with my mom and to watch the movie 9 Days.
God bless you. You know what? I'm just, you need to hydrate. You're going to, I mean, maybe schedule therapy before and after.
Sure.
Like, it's a whole thing, man.
It's a sad movie.
Dude, prepare your, I don't even.
Well, I love a sad
goosebumps.
Movie.
I know, but everything, I cannot advise people more to prepare for the post-movie feelings.
Okay, but please do not tell me anything. I know nothing about this movie, and
I want
to go in cold. No, him and Josh were talking about it, and I literally covered my ears.
Okay,
like,
good.
La la la. I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Yeah. But
also, the last movie I saw with my mom in theaters was the Mr. Rogers documentary, and it was me, my mom, and my grandma sitting right next to each other.
Yeah.
And sister, not brother, we were crying the whole time. Little sob train with me and the ladies.
Is your grandma here right now too?
My grandma's here right now.
That's exciting. Are they staying with you?
No, okay. There was a chance she was going to be. Okay. She's in a place, and she seems to like it. She can't get Wi-Fi, but she's making friends with all the ladies there.
Good,
dude. She is cutting up.
Good.
And then me and her, we go to get coffee. We went to the farmer's market. Wait, one quick grandma story. We have one bit to go, and I think we're not coming back after that. But we went to the farmer's market, and she spent so much time. I want to get fresh peaches.
Yeah.
She grew up on a farm. She loves a fresh peach. She's a fresh, and she goes. We looked at all the peaches. She's smelling them and squeezing. She goes, these are worse than the ones in the supermarket. These aren't real. They probably just bought these at Kroger and brought them over here.
But you know what? The peach truck's coming up from Georgia soon. And when
does,
yes, I'll get you a box of peaches.
So we'll get, because she'll be so into that. But then we got a cantaloupe. And she goes, no, I grew up on a farm. I know how to tell if they're fresh. It's got to smell good. You got to feel it. It can't be bruised too much, but a little bit of a bruise. And you'll be able to tell because there's like the little hole on the top.
Yes.
Kind of like the avocado way. You can tell if it's fresh or not.
Mm-hmm.
So something there. And so we spend... Is this one good, Gramsy? Oh, no, that's too ripe. Is this one good, Gramsy? Oh, no, that's not right enough. Is this one good? Oh, yeah, that's, let me smell it. Oh, that's the keeper. And then we spent so much time picking out this damn cantaloupe.
Aww.
And then we went to the farmer's market. It was like out of the way. We're like an hour after I was supposed to drop her back off. And then I'm going to drop her off. I'm like, do you want me to walk this into your room for you, get someone else to carry it? And she goes, well, no, I know you're going to hang out with your friends, and it'd be really nice if you guys got to enjoy that cantaloupe together, because I'll never be able to finish it on my own.
Aww.
And I was like, you're the best woman in the world.
You better
love
you. Have ate every damn piece of that cantaloupe.
Oh, yeah, no, we cut it. Also,
Did you salt it?
I do not. Well, we did not salt it. I'll try it next time, and I have no clue how to cut a cantaloupe.
Oh,
it was the
size.
Some of them were like little tiny slivers. Some of them were massive, but it was great.
Good.
I love my grandma, man.
Good. That's awesome.
You need to take your grandma to the State Fair and get her some like deep fried fruit or something
we
like
talked
that.
About that. Yeah. We think she wants to get one of those big old pork tenderloins.
Can we go? Can I go? I really, so like on the low, I've always wanted to like meet your mom. I met her once at a restaurant, but she was talking to Chick. And, but I should, I followed her stuff for a long time.
Yeah, sure.
Before I knew her.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And I want to hang out with your grandma and your mom.
Let's do some other side of the Griswold fam hang time. I don't think we'll regret it. We're doing one more bit, but we're not coming back after, right?
Correct. We're going to play it because it's very long. And this is a local bit that we've played for years this time of year because our state fair. But it applies to maybe any state fair because it doesn't really talk about the state fair. It just they're going to the state fair via the fair train, which is no longer a thing.
Very
sure.
sad.
No.
Which is kind of a bummer. And it was just one of those radio, you know, promotions, gags, whatever you want to call it. And it just, I mean, talk about keep circling the toilet. I don't know. What do you think is the best way to, I mean, it just gets worse and worse.
It's amazing. And it was a tradition every year to hear it.
Yeah.
It is at their worst. But it became the two of them, Tom and Chick, because Bob is back running Master Control.
Right.
They literally had a terrible time. But the comedy that ensued from it, and Chick's had one of his famous breakdowns. Tom is literally he's in agony. Like, something's super loud near him.
It is such the snowball effect. It is the audio snowball. Like, it is.
And then everyone back at the station, Bob, Christy, maybe Pat Carlini, and maybe Mark Patrick. They're all hanging out, maybe Dean too. And they're hanging out just having the best time because they're having the worst time.
And would you rank this below or above Chick trying to talk to Spike Lee at the airport? Where does that land?
Same energy. I'm going to go same energy.
Okay.
Yeah.
But definitely better just because it's a group effort and there's two different things going on.
Yeah. And really. It's just, and you know, Tom under stress and not in the studio. Mm-hmm. It's a very fun thing to listen to.
Awesome. Well, we're going to play the State Fair bit real quick. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate, subscribe, review, wherever you listen to us. We'd appreciate it. And now, here is Tom and Chick's worst radio experience. It's the State Fair segment.
You're with Bob and Tom and Chick and a cast of thousands this morning.
And they're on the way to the Indiana State Fair.
That's right. They're on the train and on their way.
Right?
No, we're standing.
You know, some of the people driving by.
You know, they said this wouldn't be good radio, and I said, no.
No way.
You know, I've been noticing some of the people driving by this morning. And
yeah.
It only makes me think that they're doing marvelous things at mental institutions right now. I don't know.
You see a train yet?
No.
No. Someone just came by and said that the train comes by here every morning about 10 after, so.
It's 10 after.
10 after.
10 after right now.
Yeah, well, I'm not
like a train.
Standing on the track.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chick, what about now? Is there a train now?
No, not now.
Okay.
So this is like that old Randy Montgomery joke.
Which one?
For his kid, when his daughter was small, she used to say, they'd go on these family trips. And,
are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Randy, yeah. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And Randy just finally said, yes, we're there. This is your uncle's driveway, only it's 80 miles long. Okay.
All right.
Wait a second.
What? Wait a minute.
Here it comes.
I see the light.
You do?
Now,
wait a minute.
How
are you going to stop this? Do you have a big flag?
No.
Do you have
we've got the fish fry sign.
You have what?
Lawrence United Methodist Church. So I'm using their sign.
You're going to stop them with a fish fry sign.
Yes, I am standing in the tracks. The train is coming.
Now,
this is definitely a steam engine or some kind of locomotive because there's a lot of smoke coming out and there's a big light.
Either that or it's on fire.
Oh, my God. The train's on fire.
See that? It's burning oil.
Tom, yes. I live close to that area. And let me just warn you that when that train blows its whistle, it's very loud.
It sure is.
Train!
It's really loud.
Excuse
like,
me, but
200 yards away.
Can the train see you?
Would you wave the fish fry sign?
Sorry, waving the fish fry sign.
Get over here in the tracks so they can see you.
Don't stand on the tracks.
I'm not going to stand on the tracks,
Bob.
Columbia boy.
Chick.
Oh, wait a minute. Can you hear it?
Hear what?
Oh, there's nothing lonesomer than that whistle blowing.
Get on the tracks and wave the sign.
Stand on the train.
Which side do we get on this from? Hell, I'm getting off the track.
Lights are on.
Large train. Get off the tracks there.
I hear it. Is it slowing down?
Well, it better. I'm on the track.
Gee, I hope, Chick, I hope your foot doesn't get caught in the rails there.
Anybody who knows me, I've got nothing to lose.
you hear it?
Oh, yeah, we hear it.
Now, the lights are flashing so people can't cross.
This broadcast could get ugly real quick.
Well, it's close enough now I can read the sign on the front.
What's it say?
Look, get out of the way.
Oh, it says, look, listen, live.
If you could read a loser.
Okay, I hear the whistle. Holy! Hey, Casey's down.
Jeez.
Train coming. We got a train.
Okay.
Is it stopping?
Yes. Yeah,
the fish fry sign worked?
If you blow that whistle again, I'm going to stab you with the fish fry sign. God, I think I just went deaf.
I told you.
I told you, it's very loud.
I think I just went deaf. Hey, this thing is spewing
what is that
all over the place. Coming out. Okay.
What is
that?
Can we get on this thing?
Why don't you want to get up
here? Okay. Do you have, like, a ladder or something?
Yeah, there's here. Crap everywhere.
God, I'm covered in soot.
there's oil or something
this
coming out of the train.
Shirt.
I'm sure it's
my
plastic
shirt.
Hey. Where's the EPA when you need it?
Hey, what's Cassidy? We're getting on down here.
They just wanted to make sure you'd be a sure hire at the state fair once you got there.
What about my fish fry sign?
It's not yours.
Throw away the fish fry sign.
Put it back
That's
up.
Not your sign.
I'd like to apologize to all these motorists who made the mistake of taking this route. Hello?
Uh-huh.
Hello, okay.
Ha! Hey, Gary would have never done this.
Yeah.
Okay. Climb right up there, huh?
Okay, well.
Okay, I'm just climbing on board the train.
Okay, well.
Okay, you don't have to do the moving start thing, okay? Do I look like Paul Newman? All right.
No.
Okay, well, there's coal everywhere up here, and...
So you're in the engine, then?
It's either Ted Danson or there's a lot of soot around here. Hi, guys.
We lost Chick.
Who'd we lose?
Hello? Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay, Chick's climbing up in the... we are actually in the... it's called a locomotive, this particular variety of train thing. The man is looking at me like I'm a total horse. Well,
Chick,
okay.
1-2. Hello.
Chick, oh, there's
a... me. Hi, Ball.
Hey.
Can you hear me, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to give up the sailor phone. It's covered in soot.
Okay.
Well, we're on board the train.
Huh.
Okay.
Hey, you know, it's really convenient that a train would have microphones set up
that
for
the
it.
Best.
I know.
The guy,
that is
wow.
Very nice.
It's almost as if they knew we were going to hijack.
All I know is that the one of the guys just said,
"Would you stop that?"
One of the guys just said, "Start this thing and I'll get us there."
Okay.
So,
hey, there's a train bin here. I can see its tracks.
Hey, Chick, if you time it right, you could time the whistles so that it would cover up expletives.
Oh, that's true.
You know, this is actually a coal-fired train, Bob. There's a lot of flame around here.
Wow.
Notice everyone's wearing safety glasses except for me. You know, I could still work while blind.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear anything we're saying?
Yes.
I don't know about you, Chick, but right now I am turned on.
The throbbing of the train, the rocking, the reeling of the train.
Hey, if that engineer's high on cocaine, get off. Because he'll be going real fast.
We're standing on board a giant steam engine.
Hey, which button blows the whistle?
That one up there.
Hey, can you blow the whistle over here? I'm getting coal in my mouth.
Is there something I could buckle my butt to? I'm about to fall off the train.
Huh?
Pull down right here.
Pull down right there. Go over there and pull down right over there.
That's, I can...
Whoa! You can pull
Excuse
the whistle.
Me, just trying not to fall
Tom's
off
gonna,
on...
Tom's going to make the
There's
whistle
There's a little
blow.
Subdivision here I'm about to fall into at 50 miles an hour. I can pull this down.
Why don't you suck my... Well, that didn't...
Oh boy.
See?
Okay, let's try it now.
It's all in the time.
Hey, all right.
Why don't you eat and die?
Well, we're on the locomotive, boys, heading for the fair.
Well,
I am covered in coal. I'm kind of homesick for the inbreeding of West Virginia.
All I can say is I hope the horse poop wipes off the coal on my new Reeboks.
Oh, nice. Well, all aboard, gentlemen.
Okay. I can't hear
All All right. We know you're coming.
This is better than the hot air balloon, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Isn't there a law that they have to do that, though, at intersections?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, people are holding up signs screaming hello, Bob and Tom. Hello, good morning, guys. Hello, how are you? Okay, good. Well, that's nice. Go by the propane factory. Just dumping a little toxic waste into Fall Creek. Yes, sirree. We're heading for the fair. Our state fair is
a great state fair. Don't miss it. Don't even be late.
Hey,
I have coal in my mouth.
We're getting pulled over.
Chick, get a little closer. You could recreate the Mel Gibson role.
You know, one of the things about being in a locomotive, they design these with the engine right in front of you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so then what happened?
Really?
Like your mama.
I can't hear a word.
All right. If you can hear me, check your hair is full of soot.
You know, I've come 100 feet.
I can't hear anything. Okay.
Oh, God.
I like it.
Yes, we heard the horn.
Yes, so did we.
Best part is you just hear that horn, then everyone's right here talking. All right. Okay.
Dude, it is so deafening. What's the name of our engineer here?
Our engineer is Russ Sutherland.
Yeah, if you could introduce the band, please.
Yeah.
Head fireman Paul Meister.
Head fireman Paul.
Second fireman Jim Potter.
You'll be head fireman soon.
I can't hear anything anymore.
I have coal in my eyes. I have coal on the bottom of my bag, okay?
This was a great idea, hijacking the train.
I mean, think I'm having motion sickness now. Oh, the stool Chick's sitting on just broke off. That's perfect.
How do you mean that? I want to tell the engineering staff, I think I dropped the cellular phone into the blast furnace.
Oh, there it is. Wait a minute.
Oh, that'll go up real fast.
Now, there's something black and gooey dripping on my beautiful white shirt that I wore.
Oh, Christ, this again!
Driving that train.
These other great trade hits.
Boxcar Willie hits, including...
Okay.
Okay.
This is unbelievably full of soot.
Are you near the fair yet?
Bob, I'm having to face backwards because of the flames. We're going ass first.
Now I'm being soaked by water from the steam engine.
Some kind of black water dripping on me.
You know, I can see why planes caught on.
Yeah. Oh, great.
I'm voting best remote ever.
I think the number of times a man blows a horn on a train is in direct correlation to the lack of size in his smaller the longer he blows.
See, you notice none of these guys have so much as cracked a smile.
Oh, I hear that train a coming. It's coming around.
Oh, we need that Johnny Cash song. Do we have that anywhere?
It's out on the way in.
I think we're getting the song.
Jack, we're on the train. Gotcha.
Yes. Yes, for those of you that think this is a sound effect, I'm afraid it's not. We're on the fair train. We've hijacked it. You'll recognize Chick and I were the ones that looked like Ted Danson.
Now officially covered in coal dust.
I'm wearing a white shirt. Good choice for today's show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you at the state fair yet?
Maybe that's the brakes.
What the?
What? Sorry.
Those were brakes, I think.
Sorry
they?
About that.
Tom, what'd you say fell on your white shirt?
Wait a second.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Here we go. There's a train song.
Vomited yet.
Yet.
They're not going fast enough, are they?
Oh, they're going real fast, Christy.
Oh, really?
Oh, wait a minute. We've crossed State Road 37. Oh, Jesus.
You son of a bitch! I'm going to shove that horn up your ass! One more time. Coming over there, Grandpa.
Okay, I think we're...
All right.
I think we're slowing down.
So you don't have to, take the train back, do you?
No.
Oh, shoot.
No, if we take it back, I think we'll sit in the passenger. They didn't say we'd be in the coal car.
Here it goes!
Okay, we're getting close now.
Petticoat Junction.
train.
You know,
I see it's like an 8-foot thing of flames just shot out right in my buns.
I'm sure I've been miserable, but I don't know when.
Yeah.
We're getting off now.
Petticoat Junction.
I'll just jump from here. It's only a 6-foot jump, Chick. Feel free. No, climb down to there, then just jump the last 6 feet.
You know, there's no easier way to get to the fairgrounds.
That's a great song.
Than by train. Oh, but we recommend riding in that.
Just jump.
I'm not jumping.
Okay, thanks, guys. Well, we're getting off the train.
Wait a minute, we're being motioned down this way.
I'm sorry, I can't hear a word you say.
I remember.
I guess.
Hey, Chick.
I guess they don't like it when you stop the train.
I was running the train. What kind is it?
Well, it's about 9:15.
9:30, closer. Thank you.
Sorry.
Well, now we're here back at the passenger area. Bob.
Okay,
people are unloading from the train.
So
see, all the clean people are the one who rode in the passenger area. Kingfish and Amos were the ones who was riding. We were riding in the actual engine.
Oh, you know, that's every kid's dream, you guys.
That's right, to ride in a locomotive.
Mammy.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.